Good morning. Some of you guys know me. There may be some that don't. I am Shireen Abu-Ghassem. I started coming to New Covenant in 1994 when my children were very tiny, 2 and 4. They're now 34 and 36, so it's been a long time. I actually left in 2014 and went to Tennessee, where I also went to a church called New Covenant, which is kind of funny. And then I spent a few years in Orlando, and then after I had open heart surgery, other chronic illnesses, I realized I had to retire and stop working. So I came back to Illinois where my daughter was. And actually I knew a good church, so that was a plus as well. Here in New Covenant, my interest was really mostly with healing. I liked being on the healing team at New Covenant and at the Champaign County Christian Health Center. I even went on some mission trips to Uganda and to India to pray for healing. So that's where my heart is really. Since around Easter, I've had a sense of New Covenant that was creating a space for the Holy Spirit. I could sort of see a space opening up in my mind. I talked to other people and they were saying similar things, that New Covenant was in a time of getting ready or preparing for something. In July and August, New Covenant received a couple of prophetic words. When I was here the first time, prophetic words had occurred on a fairly regular basis. But since I had returned, it had been quiet. My understanding is that although there are people who are called to be prophets, God will gift people who are not prophets with prophetic words in order to upbuild and to encourage and to console the church. They're really given these words to build up the church, and that's in 1 Corinthians 14. I don't know about you, but when I hear a prophetic word, I think that was good. But 2 minutes later, I can't remember much of anything of it. It's just gone. Is that like you guys? As a result, it seemed important to look at these prophecies in the context of Ephesians. So as New Covenant is getting ready for its next step, these words will be in us more deeply and hopefully will be encouraging and building us up to the tasks at hand. I'm going to start by just reading the words so we'll have them in our minds and we'll go from there. In the beginning, there was a darkness till God brought light. Here again, there is a darkness in the land. It is a deep darkness, where good is called evil, and evil is called good. It has been discouraging to you. But remember, I am the light of the world. Light is stronger than darkness. Believe that I am the light, and in me there is no darkness. Wait on me. It is necessary to wait on me. My name is before all names. Do not let what your eyes see become your reality or your truth. Look up and ascend into the heavenlies, where truth and light abound. My desire is to have heaven and earth meet in you as it did in Jesus. Look and come both into my home and into my presence. I am your God. Rejoice in that. Truth and light will prevail. Don't believe the darkness or lies. Believe in me. And then in August of this year, I am your God. Listen to me. My name is holy and my ways are holy. I have chosen you to be my people. Look up to me, sit with me in the heavenlies. It is through sitting with me that you can be blessed and bless others. When you are seated in Christ, you will walk with my love and grace into the world. The world is lacking in grace. Bring it to my people. Take hold of this truth. Sit in my presence and walk into the world, bringing my healings, my provision, and my presence. The world is desolate and needs you in it, bringing my life to it. So I'm going to just outline what I think are the main points of this prophetic word. The first point is that God has a purpose for us to be his people. Second point is God is above all things and is stronger than all the powers in heaven or earth, that his purpose cannot be thwarted and it cannot fail. Thirdly, it is important not to see with our earthly eyes, but to look up into the heavenlies. And finally, it is important to sit, wait, rest in Christ in the heavenlies, to put our faith in Christ and then walk into the world bringing healings, provision and God's presence. So let's think about this thing that God has a plan. In Ephesians 1:16 we find that his plan is to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. To fulfill his plan he had a sort of how-to. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the earth to be holy and blameless. Ephesians 1:5, his plan was for our adoption by him through Christ. 1:7, he planned for our redemption through Jesus' blood. 1:7 again, he planned in Jesus to forgive our trespasses. 1:11, he planned that we'd obtain an inheritance according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So God had another how-to, and that was giving us the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1:13, he sealed us with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. Ephesians 2:22, in him you have been built together for a dwelling place of God by the Spirit. And in Ephesians 3:4, according to the riches of his glory, may he grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So we need to look at, why did God make this plan? I think it's because he actually really loves us. He wants us to be in fellowship with him. He wants us to be blessed in the Beloved, as it talks about in Ephesians. He wants us to dwell in his glory. He wants us to know him fully as he knows us fully. In addition, he wants all creation to be united, all things in heaven and those things on earth. In Ephesians 2:4 and 5, we read that God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. In chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, he, the Father, may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He really does love us. He really does want us to experience his love fully. He knows that when we know that we are loved completely, we become more fully what we were supposed to become, and we end up being holy and blameless in Christ. In addition, when truth is spoken to us in love, we grow up. We are held together safely by our joints. Each part of us is working properly so that our body builds itself up in love. It is vital to God that we abide in him and that he abides in us, so that we can experience his love for us in real deep ways, and he can experience our love for him. He wants all of creation, whether it is in heaven or on earth, to be fully alive. Next thing that prophecy talked about was that God's plan will succeed. In Ephesians 1:19-22, we read, he seated him at the right hand in the heavenlies, far above every rule, authority, power, and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And in Proverbs 29:11, many are the plans in the mind of Christ, of a person, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Jesus completed his part, so we are now one with Christ. When we are in Christ, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's in Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, we were chosen by God before the foundation of the world. Verse 5, we are adopted by him, God, to himself. Verse 6, we were lavished with grace in the Beloved. Verse 7, we were redeemed and forgiven. Verse 11, we are participants in God's good plan. Going further, in Christ chapter 2, verse 4, God, when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive and together with Christ. Verse 6, he raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the right hand of God. Verse 11, in Christ we experience the immeasurable riches of his grace in God's kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We find that Paul had a prayer for the Ephesians, and I found it interesting that his prayer was not about doing, it was about knowing. But Paul really wanted the Ephesians to know what God has done for them. Together, I see it really deeply in. So in Ephesians 1:15-23, Paul asked for God to give Ephesians wisdom through the Holy Spirit so they can have a revelation in the knowledge of him. He also prayed that their eyes are enlightened so that they may know the hope to which he has called them. And he prayed that they know the riches of Christ's glorious inheritance in the saints, that they were part of Christ's inheritance, that they were his body. And finally, that they may know the greatness of his power towards us who believe it is the night that he worked in Jesus when he raised him from the dead. Now, interestingly enough, although God rested after he created the world, Jesus, Adam, and us rested before any of us could begin to work. We find out that Jesus began his work from a position of rest. In John 14, verse 10, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not say under my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work." It is the same for us. Before we can walk, we must sit in Christ at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. In Ephesians, we're told that our journey has to start from a sitting, not from a walking position, so that Christ who dwells in us can do his work. God knew we couldn't fulfill our calling, so he sent Jesus. Jesus knew we couldn't fulfill our part in God's plan without help, so he sent the Holy Spirit to us. John 16, verses 13 through 15 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will take what is mine and declare it to you." So let's go back to the beginning. And what we find is that the words given to New Covenant in many ways mirror what Paul gave to the church in Ephesus. So let's take a look at that. The word to New Covenant: God has a purpose for us, and it's to be his people in Christ. In Ephesians, we will be Christ's body building itself up in love. In New Covenant's word, God is light. Light is stronger than darkness and will prevail. In Ephesians, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, and power and dominion. In New Covenant, seated in Christ in the heavenlies. Ephesians, we're seated with him in the heavenly places. I have a favorite Bible verse. It is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I'm reading it from the King James Version because that's where I learned it when I was pretty young. "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I found this verse over the years particularly comforting, because what it basically tells me is he's got it. He's going to get me there at the end. And that's what these passages are also saying to us. So let's make sure that we know what's a good takeaway for us. First of all, God loves us deeply. God has a plan that allows us to be one with him and united with all of creation. That God will accomplish his plan. That God gives us the means and all the gifts, power we need. When we start from a position of being seated, we can then walk as Jesus did, because Jesus is in us, and then we can hear and see what he is doing, and then do it too. As I was preparing for this talk, I felt I had a thought that was not mine, but might have been from God. The thought was that the people in New Covenant who feel strongly that they are not worthy, that in some real way they are not okay. And it has a consequence of them not being able to trust that what they are hearing and seeing is from God. So that leaves them sort of stuck and unable to move. This is not a thought that I would have, because I've always thought of myself as okay. But what I realized when this thought occurred to me was that in some ways, these people who are not sure about how worthy they are have held on to truth that those of us that think we're okay might probably have let go of. And that is that we are all sinners, and as a result, like Adam, we are separated from God. But it is important to know another verse, another truth, as we're holding on to the verse that we're all sinners. And that verse is again in Ephesians. It's Ephesians 4:24, and it says, "Put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." And in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. So in closing, I just ask that you think about these words during the next week, and just, if you can, just spend some time with Christ and with the Holy Spirit, just to let him deeply impart these truths, that God has a plan, that he will fulfill his plan, that we're part of his plan, and we will be united in him with all the body of Christ in a new creation. And just let the Holy Spirit really sink that deep into you. Thank you.